Good to have you in the house of the Lord today. Beautiful fall day, though technically we're still summer, I think. Just a couple quick announcements. Remember, as Pastor Rogers said, after the service we'll have a luncheon for those that are volunteering for the food pantry downstairs with a meeting. We appreciate all of you that volunteer, no matter what ministry in this church. We don't believe we do good works to get saved. We believe we do good works because we are saved. And that's what we give back to God with a heart full of gratitude. Pastor Pinella has been with us. I had fellowship with him and Sister Tina this week, and I want you to know his leg is continuing to do better and better. He goes for an x-ray this week to look at the one bone. So just pray, continue to pray that it gets better and stronger. And we're very grateful for that. Amen. Last thing, there'll be no Costco run today. Those of you men that are involved in the Costco run, because of the food pantry, we will not have that today. And we appreciate you doing that. Amen. Is it still the will of God to heal people? Many people aren't sure about that doctrine anymore, yet it is one of the four foundational doctrines of the church, the Protestant Church of Jesus Christ. The four main doctrines or cardinal doctrines is that Jesus saves from our sins, Jesus heals us from our sickness, Jesus fills us with his Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming again. And I was glad that our worship team was singing that about his coming again. Yet there's a lot of people that believe that God heals, but he doesn't heal them. How many know if you believe God heals, but he doesn't heal you, you really don't believe in it? There's a lot of modern theology today that really prevents people from receiving all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And they just let doubt come in their mind. Even though the Word of God never changes, the Word of God says our Heavenly Father is immutable. That means He's perfect. He's the only one who doesn't change, because He doesn't have to change. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. I do not change. And then you have preachers say, yeah, but he doesn't heal anymore. Yeah, but he doesn't cast out demons anymore. Yeah, but he doesn't do this anymore. And that is modern teaching in some of the churches that really confuses people. And listen, if you don't believe Jesus Christ heals, he will not heal you. You have a part to play. How many know that just because you're born doesn't mean you go to heaven? You have a part to play. And you have a part to play in growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have a part to pray if you want answered prayers. Might want to pray. You have a part to play when you want healing from Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're going to look at the clearest passage of Scripture today that I want to help you with to settle once and for all, does Jesus Christ heal today? And we're going to jump into this. This is the fifth sermon I've taught on healing, the doctrine of healing. And so let's go to Mark 1, verse 40. And I'm going to ask you who are at the back, if you could help me get to the next slide. I got my clicker on, but it's just not clicking. So it's Mark 1, and we're going to look at verse 40, a leper coming to Jesus Christ. All right, I don't need that. I just need the PowerPoint. That's all. So let me read it to you. Well, there it is. Thank you very much. Now a leper came to Jesus imploring him, kneeling down, respect to him, and saying to him, Jesus, if you are what? He didn't know. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. That's called the doctrine of the laying on of hands. He laid on his hands and he said to him, what? I am willing. Be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken those words, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was what? He was cleansed. Amen. Bow your heads with me, would you? Lord, I pray today that you would speak through me to not just impart faith, but to teach your people to live with activated faith, not passive faith, active faith. No matter what, Lord God, you have for us through our relationship with you, I pray that we would not fail to miss out on anything. Help us, Lord, to understand and grow in this grace and knowledge in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, this is the best passage of Scripture to talk to people, but 3/4 of the Church of America doesn't believe that God heals them. They believe God heals, but they don't heal them. And it's because of a lot of bad preaching. The Bible says, let me quote it to you, in 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Jesus, who himself bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having to die to sins, would live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Peter says, you were healed 2,000 years ago when Christ was on the cross. You are not healed now. You were healed. Christ purchased your healing. Now you got to go get it. Ah, I don't want to do that. Fine, be sick. Go to heaven early. It's your choice. But understand, if you have the faith of the leper, you can press in and receive what Christ has purchased for you. You don't have to, but I hope you will. A lot of people fail to realize that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. And I get upset when some people in the body of Christ say, oh, we need a greater revelation of the Father. We need to know more about the Father. Hogwash! Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know more about the Father? Get to know his Son. God is spirit. The Father is spirit. You're not going to get to know about him except by looking at the only person of the Godhead that came in flesh. Colossians 2:9 says, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Or the fullness of the Trinity dwells in Christ. You don't need a greater revelation of the Father. You need a greater revelation of Jesus. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. Do you know why Jesus healed people? Because the Father healed people. Do you know why it was Jesus' will to heal people? Because it was the Father's will to heal people. That's it. And we need to know that. We need to believe that. And we need to walk by that. So let's get into this outline today. And let me teach you. I have been healed many times. And people say, well, why do you even need healing? Because we live in a fallen, sinful world. And your body is not redeemed. Your soul is redeemed. Your spirit is redeemed. But this body's going to die because of Adam and Eve's sin. You're going to die. But while you're alive, how many know it's nice to lay hold of healing and live in good health? The whole goal of life is not to live for eternity. It's to make it to heaven. Very important. Very important. So let's get into this doctrine of healing. Number one, accept the Bible as God's will. I have to tell people so many times, I don't know if I believe that. I said, it's in the Bible. I'm not sure that's for today. It's in the Bible. This is God's will. If you want to know what God's will is, read his book. This is called the Old Testament and the New Testament. A testament is a will. If someone, let's say your grandfather dies and he leaves you some money, you go read his last will and what? Testament. And this is God's will, and there is nothing. You can't read the Book of Mormon. You don't read the New World Translation. You don't read the Koran. This is it. There's nothing else. It's his last will and testament. Now, you read the will, you find out what God wants for you. Ephesians 1:3, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And your job is to lay hold of all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places and bring them down here. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in." How do you pull it from heaven down here? Active faith. For 3.5 years, Jesus taught his disciples more about faith than anything else. Anything else. And we need to make a lifelong study of faith. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can sing the loudest in church, you can clap the loudest, you can shout the loudest, but if you don't have active faith, you're not pleasing God. Not because I said it, but because this last will and testament says it. So, you got to read the book. If a woman comes to me and says, "Pastor, my husband died. I want to know if he left me any money." I would say, go find his will. Go find his last testament and you will know. You want to know what God has for you in this life? Read the will. Read and accept it as God's will. Now, since it is God's will, and everything else is a forgery, there is a passage of Scripture in Acts 10 that should settle it for people. If you believe the will of God is the Word of God. And Peter preached this to the first Gentile converts, the house of Cornelius. And he preached to them how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. What was the good that he did? Healing what? A few? Just a couple? All that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. So if Jesus healed them, and it was the will of Jesus, it was also the will of who? God. And notice the other thing. Everyone who is sick in need of healing is oppressed by what? When you have sickness, you are being oppressed by who? Not because the pastor said it, but because. Was there sickness in the Garden of Eden? After sin, did sickness come? Who brought sickness? Who always brings sickness? All right, you're with me, right? Who brought COVID? You with me? So if you don't believe sickness is part of the devil, why would you go after a healer? Very important that we understand that. And so Jesus, he's the one. He will heal us if we go after him, if we activate that faith. And he is the exact representation of God the Father. You want to know what God the Father is like? He sent his son Jesus in physical form. He only does the will of the Father. And in John's Gospel, it's not in your bulletin, John's Gospel, chapter 14, 9, Thomas said, "Jesus, just show us the Father and it will suffice us." And he said, "Thomas, have I been with you so long that you don't understand? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I only do the things that the Father tells me to do. I only speak the things I see the Father speaking to me." We have to believe that. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the second one. Not only is it important for you to accept the Bible as God's will, But you have to believe it's God's will for. This is a problem in America. We're always trying to live under a victim mentality instead of being a victor. We're always looking to blame someone else for our problems. As a Christian, we are more than conquerors in Christ. We're not victims. We may have come to Christ broken as a victim, but Christ wants to heal us and bring us into more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you have to believe this book is God's will for you. Well, it's God's will for my husband or my kids, not me. You are living in passive faith. Passive faith. I believe in God. Passive faith. I believe God's healed. Active faith. I believe it's God's will to heal me now. Passive faith. I believe God will heal me someday. Passive faith. You have the power to activate your faith through Christ. It's his faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And so we have to learn to activate it. Now, let me give you a couple scriptures on the doctrine of healing, all right? Read it with me. Read it with me. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Mark 1:33. Now, a lot of people say, Pastor, see, he didn't heal all. He healed many. And I said, he didn't heal all because not all were sick. Some had demons. Read the scripture. Everyone's looking for an excuse. It doesn't say heal them all. He just healed many. Well, that's because those who had demons didn't need healing. They needed deliverance. I have to convince you to go after this like a bulldog goes after a bone. If you don't go after it for yourself, no one will. Here's another scripture that talks about Jesus and healing. Jesus said, I come to do your will, O God. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus only did the will of God. Did he heal many? Did he heal all oppressed of the devil? Then was it the will of God? Yeah, it was the will of God. Here's another one. Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And who sent him? The Father. God the Father. And so again, some scriptures talking about Jesus Christ. He is the direct manifestation. He is the direct revelation. He is the exact representation of God the Father on earth. You don't need more of a revelation of the Father. You need more of Jesus Christ. And you will know what the Father is. Now, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, if healing is for everyone, how come not everyone gets healed? Well, that's a good question. I don't always have an answer to that question, but I know who does, number one. And number two, don't talk yourself out of a healing just because someone you know didn't get healed. Listen, if your father died and left you $1 million, and he left zero for your sister and zero for your brother. He left you the million, zero for your siblings. Would you say, oh, that's not fair. I'm not taking the million. Give it to the IRS. Give it to the lawyer. That's just not fair. Would you do that? Then why do we say, oh, I'm not going to get healed. My friend didn't get healed. My mother didn't get healed. I'm just not going to accept my healing. Is that not the same logic? It's the exact same logic. And it's because we doubt, we fear. Doubt and fear are those things that destroy our faith. And the Bible says, unless we have faith, we can't receive from God. Now, you don't know why your friend didn't get healed. Maybe they're having an affair on their spouse. Maybe they're full of bitterness and unforgiveness, and they hide it from you. You don't know why they don't get healed. I don't know, but I'm not going to stop that from me pressing in and receiving whatever blessing God has for me. Why should you go without because someone else is going without, and you don't know why? God knows why. The Bible tells us this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're to take care of it. The Surgeon General says smoking is a bad thing to your body. So someone's a Christian, they smoke, they die of lung cancer, and we say, that's just not fair, God. He didn't get it. That's just not fair. Do we not? The Bible says we can eat pig and pork all we want in the New Testament. It's clean, but you still should eat everything with what? Moderation. Moderation. Even though it's clean, it's still not that healthy for you. But we can have it without guilt. We can have it. But if you eat it 7 days a week, how many know you might get some issues? Pigs still don't eat good food. And so we sometimes talk ourselves into these things and say, well, this not right, that's not right. You don't know if someone was disobedient. This leper came to Jesus Christ, and he settled it once and for all. And he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The leper was trying to activate his faith with respect. He went after it. And Jesus said he was willing. Amen. He was willing. Now, let me give you a scripture why some of you don't get healed. James says in James 1:7, whatever you ask of God, ask in faith and without doubting. For he who asks and doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Don't think that woman, don't think that man will receive anything from God. She is double-minded, unstable in all their ways. What makes you double-minded and unstable in all your ways that God will not answer your prayer? Doubt. What takes your active faith to passive faith? Doubt. You can't doubt this is God's will. If you do, Peter was walking on the water. His faith solidified the water. And as soon as he doubted and saw the wave, what happened? Do you know how fragile faith is? 1 minute, it turns the water to ice. The next minute, it's that fragile. And you decide whether it's activated or fragile and leaves. And so, if you don't understand the enemies of faith, doubt, fear, and unbelief, you're going to struggle getting the blessings of God in your life. Now, doubt is wishy-washy, all right? You heard a two-faced, is two-minded. Yes, it's for me. No, it's not for me. Yeah, I'm healed. Oh, I'm not healed. Yeah, I think so. I don't know so. That's doubt, okay? Fear is a spirit that it just makes you afraid. Like I had one person who's been sick 20 years. I said, can I pray for you? And they said, no, I've been this way for 20 years. I don't know how it would live if I got healed. It's a true story. Guess what? He didn't get healed. You know what he was saying? I have milked this handicap for so much. If I don't have it anymore, that's fear. COVID-19 was a fear thing. By the way, there'll come another fear on this nation this fall with elections. Don't receive the fear. I was reading an article yesterday. Vaccinations for monkeypox. Monkeypox comes from homosexual lesbian affairs. So if you happen to want homosexual, lesbian, and then are heterosexual with someone bisexual, go get a vaccination to protect yourself. This is our government, the CDC, feeding this stupidity to us Americans. How ridiculous. Doubt, you're not sure what that says. Fear, you're just afraid. And then lastly, unbelief. Unbelief is the refusal to believe. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees? They saw Jesus heal and cast out demons and raise the dead. And it says, They refuse to believe. That's called unbelief. It's demonic. I will not believe this is for me. Fine. It's all right. Those things are three destroyers of your faith. And you have to fight them. You have to fight the good fight of what? Good fight of faith. That's a fight. And you can embrace doubt and fear and unbelief, or you can embrace more of Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So what I would like for you to do is, if you are uncertain about the doctrine of healing, you need to correct that. Correct that uncertainty of God's will in your life. You have to change your theology, and you need to understand God honors faith. How do you change it? We usually change it in the mind. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't use guns and knives. But the weapons we are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every thought contrary to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is the knowledge? Jesus Christ is a healer. What is a stronghold contrary? It's not for me. Because my friend didn't get it, I'm not going to get it. That is a demonic stronghold, and you have to, in the name of Jesus, I cast that thought down. That is not of God. That's what we have to do. And this is what Jesus did. He took care of the leper who wasn't sure either. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand. He touched the leper and he said to them, or to him, I am willing. Be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. How come he got healed? Well, he got involved. He searched out Jesus Christ. He came to him and he kneeled. He implored him. He had active faith. He wasn't, well, if the big guy in the sky wants to heal me, he's got my address. Ever hear people like that? Oh, I know you have. That's why you're laughing. I think he knows where Waterbury, Connecticut is. I mean, no, that's not act of faith. That's not what the leper did. Not at all. Now, if Jesus said, I am willing to heal you, the leper, you have to believe he's also willing to heal you. You have to know the Bible says if God did it for one person, he will do it for everyone. If you meet the conditions. He does not have favorites. Peter preached this again. He shows no partiality. In Acts chapter 10, Peter opened his mouth. He's talking to the first Gentile converts to Christianity. And he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no what? He doesn't have favorites. If he did it for one, he can do it for you. You have to believe it. You have to activate your faith and go after it. And God will do that. He's no respecter. Not at all. Now, let me give you some New Testament scriptures for the church, what we practice. In James 5, it talks about the doctrine of healing. And it says, is anyone sick among you? Any Christians that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if anyone is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of what? Will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he's sick because of sin in his life, sexual sin, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever, the Lord will forgive him with the prayer of the elders. He'll get forgiven, and he'll get healed. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? How many of you know it doesn't say, is there a few among you that's sick? It says, is anyone? How many of you know that means everyone. How many know that means all? Like Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil. That's the doctrine of healing. But we have a part to play. You must activate your faith. How do I activate my faith? Call up Pastor Roger. Call up Pastor Paul. Call up Pastor Pinella. Say, hey, I'm sick. That's number one. I'll meet you at the church. Number two, come to church. Number three, come down here. Number four, would you pray over me? Number five, would you anoint me with oil? Number six, would you ask in Jesus' name? How many know that's a lot of things you must do to activate your faith? Don't say, he's got my address. You don't know how many people have told me that. Some people are sick because of sin. Christians have sin in their life. They're playing games with God. They're playing games with people. I don't know. You don't know. God knows. And sickness brings sin. Not everyone is sick because of sin. Some people are sick because the child brought home a cold from school and gave it to the mother, who gave it to the father. They gave it around and they shared this bed. So that's not sin. We live in a fallen, sinful world where there is sickness, but when our bodies conceive sickness, there is a gift or a doctrine of healing that we can be healed. Amen? Amen. So important. I have a testimony. A couple months ago, we prayed for Maria Pinella, and the doctors thought she had a cyst or a tumor behind her eye. It was really bad. It was bulging. And so she came down in faith, activate faith. We prayed for anointing with oil. We prayed more than once. We prayed for her. She went back to the doctors, because how many know if God heals you, it's okay to confirm it with doctors? And the doctor's like, oh, I don't understand this. Where is it? Where it? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so, you know, I have a Facebook page and YouTube page, Paul Heights Ministry, and it's on Twitter too, and I put Maria's testimony of healing up here that she gave. Do you know it's up to 80 views? Do you know why everyone's clicking on that site and watching it? Because if I'm going to pray for you, you don't have to pay me, you don't have to take me out for dinner, you don't have to buy me coffee, but I do want you to come up here and testify. That's all I ask. So that you will spark faith in someone else. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their... Your testimony is so important. So important. Now, let me close before we prepare our hearts for the Holy Supper with a great illustration in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a story of Moses when he was in the desert leading the people around. And you know that God would test them from time to time. And one time the people were so upset, they told off the man of God. They told off God. They said, we're sick and tired of this manna. We're tired of this no water. We're tired of Moses. And they started grumbling. And God got mad because when you tell lies about God, that he's not providing for you and he's not giving you food and water and he's giving you the worst leader that you can have as a spiritual leader, that's what the Bible calls lies, which are long tales. And so God says, oh, you're going to tell long tales about me, huh? I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to let long tails of snakes come into the camp and bite you. Numbers 21. How many remember the story? So God says, oh, you're going to tell long tales about me? I'll let long tails come and harass and grumble you. So they, in fact, when you dream of a snake in a dream, it's a long tail. It means someone's telling a lie about you. A long tail. Not a white lie, a real good lie. So they all got bit and poisoned and they begin to die. And isn't it interesting when the judgment of God comes down, the people go, oh, we're sorry, God. You don't need to show up at my place. I'm going to your place. I need healing. We got bit by poisonous snakes for being grumbling. And so God says to Moses, they grumbled about you because they're mad at me and my food. This is what you're going to do. You have to get them to activate their faith. How? Go get bronze. Build a snake. Put it on a pole. put it in the middle of the camp. Everyone that comes and leaves their address and comes to the middle of the camp and looks at the snake, the bronze, they see their sin of telling what? If they will see that, I will heal them. How many know the story I'm talking about? It's a great story, isn't it? So everyone that Moses went, told them, they all got up. To activate your faith means you got to do something. They got up, got out of their tents, they come down, and they looked at the pole, and as many that looked on the pole with the snake were healed. Now, do you think out of the 3.5 million people that some people got bit by the snake that actually were not guilty? Yes. Do you think it's possible that the sins of someone else could affect you even though you're innocent? Yes. I'll give you an example. Have you been staying in your financial budget? Well, is it really right that our politicians spend trillions of dollars and not stay in their budget and yet we suffer for it? So does that mean like the sins of other people could affect us? Oh, there's a spiritual truth. Your sin affects everybody. And so there were innocent people that probably got bit by these snakes who didn't grumble, who didn't tell long tales. They liked Moses. They liked the food. But I'm sure there was at least one in 3.5 million who said, I ain't going. And his friend said, come on, you got to get out of the tent. No, I'm not going. I think it's stupid to go down there, look at a snake on the top of a bronze pole. And if I look at it, I'll be healed. How ridiculous. I went. I got healed. If you go, no, I'm not going. I'm not going at all. You're going to die. So what? It's ridiculous. I don't like Moses, and I don't like him. Do you think they held on to their unbelief and stubbornness and everything else? Do you think there is a few that may have died because they just couldn't obey what the man of God told them, which God told the man of God? I ain't looking at some dumb snake. By the way, do you know what doctors wear around for the lapel of the medical? Do you know where that came from? Numbers 21. I always wonder why a man with a snake is supposed to, we're to take directions and pills from him and he's going to cut us and he's got a snake on him. Just interesting, isn't it? I don't even know why it is, but it comes from Numbers 21. I'm sure there are people that says, no, I'm not going to activate my faith. I'm not going to do it. Well, listen, my job is to teach you the Word of God, how to activate your faith. And Jesus would never just heal anyone unless they did something. Stretch out your hand. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Go show yourself to the priest. Go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Jesus always had them do stuff to activate their faith so they would receive what God wanted them to receive. And you have to do the same. You have to do the same. You know, when God graciously healed Maria Panella of this terrible eye thing, you know, she didn't stay home and say, well, the pastor's got my number. He talks to God. If God ain't telling him what's wrong with me, that's his fault. I know some people think us pastors know everything. You know, sometimes we're the last ones to show up to the wedding or the funeral, and we're like, I didn't know. you got to tell us. You know, God's omniscient, but we're not. But she called me. She said, would you pray, Pastor? She pressed in. She believed the doctrine of healing. She activated her faith, and the Lord rewarded her. Not a way. Sometimes a healing is gradual and progressive, and a miracle is instantaneous. Well, I want a miracle. Well, listen, don't we all? Just be happy that God gives you some crumb. Like that woman says, I just want crumbs under the table like the little puppy dogs. Whatever he gives us is good enough. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and if the serpent or serpents had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And if he refused to look, he what? I mean, that's pretty easy. Because we just complicate things. Well, let me close with some scriptures. Jesus Christ, who healed the leper, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. Maybe not today. You have to fight the good fight of faith in that mind. Let me give you another scripture. Clicker's not working. Can you go to the next one? Great multitudes followed him, and he... I mean, that's pretty compelling. He healed them all. Let's go for another scripture in the Word of God. The whole multitude sought to touch him, and he healed them all. Do you know why they sought to touch him? Active faith. Active faith. Someone touched him, like the woman who was hemorrhaging with the issue of blood, and she testified, I went, I touched him, I got healed. Well, maybe if I touch him, I'll get healed. God's no partial to anyone. He's no respecter of anyone's. And so they activated their faith, and all who touched him were healed. And those who did not touch him, what? Thank you. Did not get healed. God says, my covenant I will not break. You know what another name for covenant is? Testament. I will not break, nor will I alter the things that have gone out of my lips. Psalms 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits, for he heals all my diseases and forgives all my iniquities. He still does it today. But you got to go after it. You got to go after it. Let me give you a couple more. Exodus 15, 26. Now, this is the Old Testament. We live in a better testament. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, right here, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what? That's Old Testament. We live in a better testament today, amen? Well, I've been prayed for, and I didn't get healed. Well, that's why God says, ask, it'll be given to you. I didn't get. Well, then seek, and you will find. Matthew 7, 7. Well, I sought God, and I didn't get it. Well, knock, and the door will be open. Sometimes you have to go after it. You might have to fast and pray to go after it. But if you don't believe it, then what you're doing is calling God a liar. He's a liar. And I got a scripture for that one too. God is not a man, neither the son of man, that he should repent. Has he said, shall he not do? Has he spoken, shall he not? Make it good. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed. I cannot reverse it. Amen. I want to encourage you. In this life, you will have tribulation. You may have sickness. You may go through some terrible things. I don't always have the answer. I got an email this morning from one of my spiritual mothers in the faith. Some of her friends in Africa were coming back from a funeral. And I don't know if you've ever seen how Africans drive vehicles and how they load, but they loaded 9 people in the pickup truck, and a truck full of sugarcane hit them, killed 3 of the pastors and one of the pastor's wife, coming back from a funeral. Do I have an answer for that? No, I don't. Terrible tragedy. Those things happen. And I won't know, but one day I will. One day I will. But I don't know now. But just because those terrible things happen doesn't mean I'm going to walk out of the church and turn my back on Jesus and say, he doesn't heal anymore. He doesn't answer prayers anymore because this thing happened over in Africa. Will you? Or will you say no? If Jesus, whom God did not spare, God did not spare him, how will not God freely give us all things through Christ? But we have a part to play. And probably the main part before we activate our faith is to make sure our heart is right. Keep your heart soft. What hardens a heart? Your mind. The thoughts you allow come in here, come down here. But if you guard those thoughts, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and bringing every thought to the captivity of Christ, I will not dwell on that thing. That's how you keep your heart soft. And Jesus said this. He said, you know what? When you come around the Holy Supper table, let a man examine himself. What's he talking? He's talking about your heart. Check your heart. Make sure things are good with you and God, you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and family. You're always checking to make sure that things are right. That way, the cup of blessing becomes a blessing. If we disrespect the Holy Supper, that which was supposed to be blessed can become sickness. For this reason, many of you are sick and some of you have fallen asleep because you have not honored the Lord's table. But we honor the Lord's table, amen? We honor. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and we're going to prepare our hearts. To partake in the Lord's Supper. And I want to share something with you. And then soon I'll call down some of the board members and their wives. But in 1 Corinthians 11, it's the common Holy Supper passage where Paul talks about how we're to approach communion. And he says, basically, at the end, for as often, 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. One day, we're going to have a Lord's Supper, but it's going to be called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb up in heaven. And it's better than any marriage celebration, reception you can ever imagine. Ever imagine. So this morning, the Lord woke me up. And sometimes, you know, if you know anything about numerology, sometimes God can speak to you naturally in supernatural ways. And he speaks to me sometimes through the clock. So if I wake up and I see 3:33, the Lord is telling me Jeremiah 3:33. Call unto me, come and pray to me, and I will show you great mighty things, things that you know not of. But you never knew God could speak through a clock. He can speak things. This morning I woke up at 4:01. And I went to the restroom, as many of us do. And the Lord said to me, Isaiah 40 and verse 10. And I thought, well, what's that? So I have to tell you the truth. I went back to sleep, and when I woke up, I looked up Isaiah 40:10. So let me read to you Isaiah 40:10, because when I saw it, I was pretty excited when I heard our worship team singing about the second coming of Christ. How many know you know God speaking to you that when he tells you something, and then someone sings a song about it, or someone gives a testimony about it? So Isaiah, well, that's 50, 40, verse 10. Lord said, look it up. And it says this, you ready? Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd. Behold, the Lord is coming. That's the Lord woke me up. And then I came here, and Matt, what was that song we were singing? Something about he's coming again, coming again. So today we celebrate the Lord's Supper because he's coming. Sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, it's getting darker and darker and darker in the world. And I said, hallelujah. The darker it gets, the closer we come to Jesus Christ. Do you know it's the most darkest before the dawn? Jesus said, don't worry, but look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Your redemption draws nigh. So I'm going to ask Roger and Pina if you would come down, and Kofi and Nancy, if you would join the pastor today. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to partake with us. And we're going to ask you to stand and everyone to come down. We have two types of the Holy Supper. We have the traditional with a cup and a cracker. And then for those of you that would like not to have anything touched, we have other things here that has a cracker and the grape juice on top. We also have it on the other side too. Be careful when you go back. Don't bump Pastor Pinella, please. But come out from your right side and go back on the left. And why don't you come on down now? Then you can go back to your seats and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
We have the children in with us to observe. Parents, it's up to you to teach your children about. The main thing that parents need to explain to the children is not only that Jesus died and was buried for 3 days, but that he resurrected. There is no Christianity without the resurrection. We're still dead in our sins. But the fact that God put a stamp of approval on Christ's sacrifice was with the resurrection. And when Christ comes back, we will be resurrected. The rapture, we're going to get it. Amen. So parents, you teach them, and when you think they're ready and can understand that, then they're ready to partake of the cup of blessing. Amen. So on the night which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And so let me just pray, and then we're going to partake of the bread together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that all that Jesus did, he did because you wanted him to do it. And we thank you, Lord, for his body, which was broken, really, for our healing, so that when our bodies are broken, we can lay hold of the healing. Lord, his body was not broken. He willingly allowed it to be broken, Lord God, so that we could be blessed. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's partake, and would you thank him in the quietness of your heart? After they supped, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, new covenant, shed for the remission of sins." The body was broken for our physical bodies. The blood was shed for our invisible sins, so we can be cleansed inside and outside. Amen. I hope you know what remission of sins means. It means every sin you have ever committed will never be counted against you. You have to know that. What about the ones I commit after? You confess your sins, you ask them to forgive you, and they go under the remission of sins. But I did some terrible things, Pastor. Do you believe the word is the will of God? The will of God says his blood was shed for our remissions. No more are they held against us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the cup that represents the forgiveness. Individual sins, marital sins, family sins, church sins, corporate sins, even nation sins, Lord. We pray for this nation that you be merciful. And, Lord, we thank you that we can stand and ask for it because of the blood. We partake of it as a cup of blessing, and we say, "Lord Jesus, come." In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. They're going to come. If you want to pass your cups to the side, Pina, you can stay here if you would, please. They're going to pass the cups to the side, Kofi and Nancy. Nancy, if you would come back, I'm going to use you and Kofi for pray for healing. But we're going to move to a time of activating your faith to put the pastor's sermon to work. And if you have any prayer or any physical needs, or you need some prayer, we're going to ask you to come down, and you can pray with Roger and his wife, Pina. Kofi, when you're done, if you would come back, my wife and I, or Kofi and Nancy, we're just going to ask you to come down. If you don't have anything, physical needs or anything, you may be seated, but this is a time where we administer with the laying on of hands the doctrine of healing, just like Jesus Christ did, just like Jesus Christ did. So come on down right now, and Matt, you can continue to lead us in worship, and we'd love to pray for you in any way. Cindy, would you come way down there with me?